Good morning. I am so psyched that you're here. Hey, if you are a visitor to Christ United, we are so thankful you're here. And I am so proud of you for still being here. Because if you're a visitor and you walked in and you were handed a packet that said building campaign, you're like, no, I came on the wrong Sunday. Here's what I want to tell you. You're going to be so glad that you were here. Because number one, I just want to tell you, there's going to be absolutely zero request for you to give money to this building, all right? So that kind of takes a little pressure off. I want to tell you, you're surrounded by a bunch of people that are going to be walking out of this building. They'll be stopping by these boxes that say, give here, change the world, and they'll be taking one out of every 10 bucks that they get and giving it to God, and God uses that to touch people's lives. He uses it to feed hungry people, to carry out ministry, to do all kinds of beautiful things, and then he blesses their other nine. So they're going to be doing that. But what they're putting in there is not for this building. In addition to that, there are people who are going to step out in just huge ways and give enormously sacrificially so that a building can be built. But that building is not what you were invited here to help make happen. That building is because you are loved. What we want is not something from you. We want something for you. And so if you've been invited here by somebody that didn't invite you because they want you to give to their building, the truth is, if you were invited here, you were invited here because somebody cares deeply about you. And they and the other parts of the partners of this church are wanting to do this for you. Now we're going to talk about why somebody would do that. Well, why is it that somebody would be so passionate that they would not only give lots of their time and lots of their energy, but also honestly give lots of their money and say, I'm going to pour into this. Why would they want to do that? What moves people's hearts in that way? Well, we've been in a series where we've been talking about partnership in this church, and we've been talking about partnering with Jesus to actually bring hope to the world. And as we've been in that partnership series last week, the sermon was called The Ride of Your Life. And what we said was this, is if you ever get on board and actually get into what Jesus put you on the planet to do, which is to partner with him to change people's lives, if you ever get hold of that, I promise you, you will have the ride of your life. It's what you were created for. It'll be more exciting than anything you've ever been a part of. Well, after church, when I was out front greeting people, we get these all the time, and you don't always get them. I wish you could hear what we hear on a weekly basis about what God is doing through you. But on the way out, this guy stops and talks to me. His name is Fred Lee. And I don't know if you've ever seen Fred or his beautiful wife, but this is Fred and Mandy. Fred's a little bit older. Mandy stayed the same. Fred got older, but this is back. This is back. Fred is a Marine, and he comes up to me. Fred's a big guy, you know, and I feel like I'm 6'2" nearly, but I feel like a little boy beside Fred, you know. So Fred walks up, and I feel like a little boy. And as Fred begins to tell his story, he started to talk, and he said, "Man, I'm getting choked up." He said, "I don't know why this is so emotional for me." He said, "But let me tell you," he said, "I have been in the Marines," and he said, "I have been in conflict zones all around the world." He said, "In addition to that, I've ridden some of the nastiest bulls." Don't know if you ever rode Fu Manchu, but he's ridden some nasty bulls, and he has done that all across the East Coast. And he said, "And I've also raced stock cars, even out here at Myrtle Beach Speedway." And so he's gone over 155 miles an hour in a car. And he said, "With all that, all the war zones, riding crazy bulls, racing a car," he said, with the most deep emotion you could possibly imagine a man saying it, he said, "This is the greatest ride I've ever been a part of, being a part of this." Yeah, is that awesome? And so what is it that would make somebody feel like, man, this is more exciting, more challenging than being in a military war zone, more thrilling than being in a car going 150 miles an hour plus or riding the bull, you know? What is it about it? Here's what it is. The truth is that we are building life-changing relationships, and you're going to hear about that, but that the power of what that's about when you're seeing somebody's life change is almost inconceivable how beautiful it is. For instance, there was a lady who walked out by me last Sunday again. This happens every week, and you just don't get to hear what God is doing through you, but a wonderful lady comes by. Her name's Linda. Linda Bogart, if you haven't had a chance to meet her, she is just precious. If you see somebody with just looks like angels in her eyes, that's Linda, and I told Linda on her way out, I said, "I am so glad to see you, Linda. And I had been thinking about Linda and wondering how she was doing. And I said, "How are you doing?" She said, "Not great, you know, physically. I'm not doing great." I said, but how are you doing otherwise?" She says, "I'm doing great." I said, "I'm so glad that you're here." She said, "I wouldn't be anywhere else." And she said, "I want you to know something." She said, "I'm going to be out there next week. Y'all, we've been talking about partnering with Jesus to change the world. And we've been saying, at what time? 10 o'clock. Every week, where? In the dome. Can y'all say it? At what time? 10 o'clock. Where? And that's right. Every single week." She said, "I'm going to be there at 10 o'clock next week in the dome." And so Linda's probably was out there this morning at 10 o'clock in the dome. And she went over there to say, "I want to be a partner with what Jesus is doing to change the world." And y'all, I was so blessed to hear her say that. And you may not know necessarily why, but Linda, 6 months ago, 5 months ago, was given 6 months to live. And so she has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Her heart and her lungs have been destroyed by the treatments that they've been able to do to this point. And right now they're at a place where they're not hopeful about what treatments can be done. We're still hopeful about what Jesus can do in that process. But yeah, can you give God a hand for that? But here's what Linda said. She said, "I just want to give whatever I got left, whether it's weeks or months or years," she said, "I want to give whatever I've got to this." And so I asked her later, I said, "Linda, why? What is it that makes you feel like you might have 1 month to live and you want to spend that month going out to the dome and learning how to partner with Jesus and changing the world? What is it about it?" She said, "It's because of what this place and what God means to me in this context." She said, "I came to Christ United by someone else's encouraging an invitation." She said, "When I walked in the door," she said, "I immediately knew this was home." She said, "I felt so much love." She said, "I felt nothing but love here, nothing but welcome, no judgment, no condemnation." But she said, "I have felt God's love here in such a beautiful way." She said, "This is my home, and I want to serve God in this home." She said, "I feel God's presence here." And I said, "Oh, that is so beautiful." And so for her and for Becky and Jeannie and other friends of hers, it's just beautiful how God has made home. But you know what she said to me? She said, "Look, I'm going to do what I can do while I can do it." And so she had talked about last week, I shared about a woman who has partnership. And I said the difference a couple of weeks ago, I said the difference between being like a customer where you're just complaining that the service isn't the greatest in the world, or whether you're like a member where you say somebody ought to clean that up. I said there was a woman who saw smudges on the windows and she showed up every Thursday and cleaned windows. And Linda said, when I heard that, she said, "I was just thinking, as long as I've got energy in me, whatever it is, for days or weeks or months, I want to use all I've got to serve God in this place because this is my home." Is that beautiful? Can anybody give God a hand for that? Awesome. So as Linda's, as she's sharing that, and that you're asking the question, well, why? It's because we're building life-changing relationships. She is encountering relationships and seeing God doing things in other people's lives that he first did in her life. And it's so beautiful. And so the first thing we're seeing is we're building life-changing relationships with God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 summarizes that. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." That whole idea of being brand new in Christ. When I was asking Fred Lee, the guy who found this so exciting, I said, "What is it about it that makes you want this so much and feel so excited about it?" He said, "It's seeing people's lives change." He said, "Almost instantaneously." He said, "It's amazing to watch God work." And he said, "And that's the most exciting thing I've ever been a part of, is watching God change people's lives." And then he went back and began to tell his story. And he said, "You see, about maybe 5 or 6 months ago," he said, "back in September of last year," he said, "I was probably at the lowest place I'd ever been in my entire life." He said, his awesome wife, Mandy, he had left her. Fred said, "Look, at that time," he said, "I think I had crossed every line a human being could cross." He said, "I would have considered myself a good servant of the evil one. That's where I was in my life." And he said, "And I had moved to Texas, and I had moved away from my wife." And he said, "And then she and I started talking, and I came to the realization that the reason my life was going down the tank like it was because I was so disconnected from God." And so he said he was invited here and came to Christ United. And if you know Fred always wears a cowboy hat, a t-shirt, and blue jeans. And he said, "And I came in my cowboy hat, my t-shirt, and my blue jeans, and I was thinking, surely people are going to, you know, like judge me or look down on me and everything else." He said it was just the opposite. He said, "I was so welcomed here and so loved here." And I opened up a door, and through that door, he came into that relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, recommitting all of his life to who Jesus is. And he said, man, that changed everything for me. It changed everything for my family. He said, but watching that happen in the lives of other people, seeing God do what he did in me in the lives of others is why I do what I do. So everybody get it? There's life-changing relationships with God. Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. As a matter of fact, that's Fred when he was coming up out of the water at his baptism. It was so stinking cool. He's a big dude. If you were within the first four rows outside of the baptistry, you got wet when he came out of there. And he was like, life, man, this is life. And when I can see lives raised up in Christ, that gives me the greatest thrill of my life. And it does. Well, we're also building life-changing relationships with others. Now, the relationship with God is so beautiful, but there's also relationships with other people. And when we talk about life-changing relationships, a life-changing relationship is first about the relationship that we receive from God through Christ. We then have the privilege of helping to share that with others. So through relationship, helping to bring other people into a changed life. And so listen to the way it happens. That passage we use when we talk about the change that God made, like for instance in Fred's life. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The next thing it says is this. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So what God did was say, Fred, I'm going to bring you to myself. And then I'm going to give you the ministry of helping bring others to me. Is that a beautiful picture? And it goes on and says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. That's what we get to share. And so Fred gets to say, man, God brought me home to himself, not counting my sins against me. And he can do the same for you. He can bring you into a relationship. And if you're here as a guest today, that's why you were invited here, was just so you can know that the God who created you wants a love relationship with you. And doesn't count your sins against you, but instead gave his son to die for you, to pay the price for all of your sins so you can come back to him, the one who created you, and be in a relationship with him. And so with that truth, Fred realized, wait, not only did I have a relationship with God, but now I can have relationships with other people that are life-changing relationships. Just like the people who welcomed me and loved me into a relationship with God, I can welcome others and bring them into a love relationship with God. And so he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors as though God was making his appeal through us. And so that's why you see Fred and Mandy. You know the signs that you see coming here in the mornings? Well, guess who puts those out? 15 of them, I believe. It's Fred and Mandy, and they go around and put out the signs, and then they come and greet people at the doors, and then they come and serve and welcome people because they're saying, the way God used someone else to draw me, I want to be the one to draw others back into relationship with God. So how many people here would love the idea of being in a life-changing relationship with God and helping to offer that relationship to others by developing life-changing relationships with other people? Well, it's also, when we talk about those life-changing relationships, it's things that happen not just within these walls. But again, every one of these is 1 week, and you just get a picture of what God does through what you guys give. But in 1 week, all these things happen. Last week, another couple coming out of the church. If you've ever met Marcia and Charles Walker, just great people. And if you've gotten to know them, you know what precious hearts they have. Well, they would go out to Coastal for the nights that we did for Refuge out there and go out there and just cook and serve hot dogs and hamburgers to college students and spend time just loving people. Well, there's a young lady there named Awi, and Awi's actually here this morning with Marcia and Charles, and she's from Japan, and they got to know her a little bit. Came Thanksgiving time. Awi didn't have any place to go, so they said, well, why don't you spend Thanksgiving with us? And she did. And then whenever it came time for Christmas coming around, Awi wasn't going to have any place to go for Christmas, and so their daughter said, do you know Awi didn't have any place to go for Christmas? They said, well, she could go with us back home to Phoenix, you know? And so they went to Phoenix, and guess who went with them? Awi did. And as Awi went to home with them for Christmas, they just loved her. And if you have a chance to meet her, I'm sure you'll love her just like they did. I had a chance to just for a moment meet her one night whenever we were out at Coastal. And it was like, oh, man, what a precious, precious young lady. But they have this privilege of connecting with somebody. And they just think we're just going to love her. And that's what they did. And she became kind of like family then. Well, Awi wrote later and wrote back to them, and this is what they shared with me last week. They said that Awi wrote and said, I wanted you to know what God has done.
God has brought me into a relationship through his son, Jesus. A friend of mine, Wendy, invited me someplace where I heard the gospel presented very clearly, and I responded to that, and I gave my life to Jesus. And I want you to know that God used you to show me his love. In my relationship with you, I began to know who Jesus was, and that's part of what brought me to a relationship with Jesus. So thank you for loving me. Is that cool? Is that cool? Yeah, give God a hand for that. So we have the privilege of building relationships that actually introduce people into God's love. So who here beside, can you think of anything more beautiful than that? It's like, could I ever do anything that would be more exciting, more wonderful, a greater joy than just loving somebody and having the privilege of a relationship with somebody who's precious to God, and then to see them actually come into a relationship with the God who created them? Greatest joy ever. Well, that life-changing relationship also then needs life-sustaining relationships. And so life-sustaining relationships are built around this concept. I want you to hear this from the book of Hebrews, and it's familiar passage to some folks here. He says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We need people to help sustain us when we come into a relationship. And so what we do here at Christ United, every church does this. It's what we do. What we do is bring people into a relationship with God, but then also into life-sustaining relationships with other people that can stand with you and walk with you. We were out one night in some of those life-sustaining relationships. Some of the guys sitting right down here, we were out to eat at Brother Shucker's, which is a really cool place. And we were at one table, and we saw another table full of Christ United folks. So we had like the two biggest tables in the restaurant were filled with Christ United. It was really cool, you know. And so we're having a great time being served. And this young lady comes up to wait on us. And I think she's probably here this morning. But she had come up to wait on us. And I just noticed, man, she had this just awesome spirit about her. She was just so genuinely kind and caring and professional and wonderful. She's a wonderful lady. And whenever she left, I said, "Did y'all feel it? Like, this young lady has something really special about her heart." And they said, "Yeah, we really do. She's awesome." Well, she came back up a little bit later, and Murph, who is a member here and runs that restaurant or owns it, he came up with her, and he was standing beside her. And I said, "Do you know this girl is awesome?" And he said, "Yeah, I know, she's awesome." He said, "She goes to an awesome church, too." And at the time, I didn't know she came here. And so, you know, and I said, "Oh, that's great, you know, I'm so thankful." Because what I was thinking was, is God, what a gift we have to have this young lady in our church. You know what I'm saying? What a gift. And so I said, "You go to Christ United?" She says, "Yeah." She says, "I come alone." And that's all she just said, "I come alone." And she left the table and she went and did some other stuff. And about 15 minutes later, when she came back to the table, I said, "I noticed you said I come alone." And I'm sitting there just looking at this young lady that I'm thinking, anybody on the planet that would have the privilege of being in a relationship with her, you know? I mean, like, man, what a great friend she would be and what a cool person she would be to hang with. And I said, "You said you come alone." I said, "Would you mind if I were to just try to connect you with some other young ladies that could come with you and that you could connect with at Christ United?" And that beautiful young lady, just tears just ran down her cheeks. And she said, "I would love that. I would like that very much." And I'm going like, God, some young ladies in this place are going to get the greatest privilege ever, because they're going to get to be this girl's friend. They're going to have the privilege of having her as a friend. And so we've had the chance to make some connections and have some people that are reaching out to the privilege of being able to have a friend like that. Now, here's the thing. We're building those relationships because it's in those relationships that you get sustained and strengthened. I was just looking at a young lady in our church whose mother just recently died. So her mom's just gone to be with Jesus. But she's surrounded by this family. And when I went to her mother's service, I saw person after person after person who's in her life group that were there loving her and supporting her and standing with her. And I'm going, that's what we all need, isn't it? We need life-sustaining relationships. And we also need relationships with people who are going to spur us on. And the way they spur us on is not by telling us that, you know, we're evil or kicking us or whatever the case may be. You know, they spur us on because they, like we, want to be who God's called them to be. And so they press on and they encourage us in pressing on. And you're going to get spurred right now. Anybody want to be spurred? You want to be spurred? I'm going to spur you. This is going to be fun. Actually, I'm not going to spur you. Linda's going to spur you. I asked Linda what she's doing. Again, she's in the fifth month of 6 months to live, which I think is going to be the fifth month of 6 years to live or 60 years to live. Yeah, you got that. But as she's sharing that, I said, you know, tell me about what you're doing. She said, one of the things that I've been doing, she said, is I make these little hats. She said, for children at St. Jude's Hospital. So there are little children who have cancer and things like that. And so she sent me that picture of those little hats. I said, how many of those do you make? She said, 1,000.
Wow.
And then in addition to that 1,000, she made about 100 to send overseas. And that wasn't enough, so she made another batch to send overseas. She sent me this other picture that had Christ United shirt inside it. She said, isn't that cool? I said, you bet, that is cool. That is really cool. Can y'all give God a hand for that? And when I was talking to Linda, I was saying, that is so beautiful. And she said, well, you know, we got all the hats made that we need to make. She said, and so I found out that the hospice care facility, that they need bibs for adults. And so she said, and now what I'm doing is making bibs for adults. And then she was out at 10 o'clock in the morning out here in the dome. It takes Linda more energy to walk 10 feet than it does most of you to run 10 miles. And she was out in the dome learning how she could be a part of sharing her faith with other people and learning how she can be a part of changing the world for Jesus. Anybody spurred? Anybody spurred? Yeah. Now, we told you this in the beginning. Why are we building a building? We're building a building. Watch this. I want to see if anybody can get guess. You ready? We're building a building for what? Building. Very good. Y'all did good. We're building a building for building life-changing relationships. That's the only reason we're doing what we're doing, is because it's an environment in which to have relationships that we don't currently have that we need because there are so many relationships. We have lots of room in here. And then beyond this, at all those places where those relationships, connections happen, we're totally out of space. And God's saying, those relationships are too important. And I need that space in which to create those relationships. And so that's what that place is going to look like. It's going to be really cool. I was telling the young lady that I was waiting on, but didn't have permission to share her name, so I'll just leave her name anonymous. But again, this precious young lady, she was waiting on us. And I'm looking at all these Christ United folks. There's a table full inside, and there's a table out here. And this precious heart is waiting on us. And I told her when I talked to her later, I was sitting there thinking, oh, God, I wish this was reversed. I wish that we were in a building where she could be sitting at the table and we could be serving her. And she could be at a table with friends her age and with people, and she could be making relationships and being supported and being cared about. Would anybody like to see that? And I said, yeah. Imagine a place where people can develop relationships and grow in their faith and be stirred on and strengthened and matured in the faith and taught and grow in relationships with people who are going to help them be who they want to be. That's what that's about. And God is saying, I want it because I want those relationships developed. And then you think about our children's ministry where we have children shuttled off to little spaces created originally to be offices all around this building, and having them all in one roof under one beautiful place where they are enriched. I think about this young lady, and I think, man, how about when she was a little girl? You know? How about all these little children that y'all see flooding out of here on Sunday morning? God, how important is it that we have a place where those little guys can come into relationships with people who are going to love and support and strengthen them? It's absolutely imperative. And we've got so many children that are in the schools around us, and they come into these doors, and sometimes they come in, and when they go out, instead of begging mom and dad to come back, they're not quite begging because their classroom didn't have enough room for them and all the other children in it. And it's like, man, God, we got to have space for these kids. And then our teenagers and the others, it's like, God, we've got one of the best children's ministries and best youth ministries on the planet. And God, we need that space, and it's what He's calling us to do to make that space available. But Big House, guys, Big House has changed more families than any other thing I've ever seen in the history of this church. Maybe, yeah. It's been awesome what God has done. Big House has never had its own space. Never had its own space. When it has its own space, God's going to be able to do so much more through that. And then our service will be able to go to their ideal times. We'll be able to come at 10 o'clock for the, 9 o'clock for the traditional and 11 o'clock for the contemporary services. It's going to free up time for us to be able to spend time with Him that we haven't been able to for tight schedules. So it's going to be beautiful what God's going to do. But guys, when we look at that building, what's that building about? It's about one thing. It's about building relationships, bringing people into a relationship with God and relationships with other people. Besides that, nothing else matters. And so when we look at that building, that's what it would look like from the back end back there. Well, we all got out on that lot. How many people were a part of that circle? Were you a part of that circle? Oh, that is beautiful. Now, if you were a part of that circle, that was a group of people saying, God, we're going to be a part of doing this thing that you've called us to do. And guys, to be a part of something like that, I promise, will be like the greatest thing you've ever experienced in your life to look back and say, I've done something that's going to build into the lives of people, not just today, but for generations to come until Jesus comes back. Relationships are going to be developed there. It's going to be powerful. Well, I was talking with a guy this past week, and this guy, this building will cost $4.5 million. That is a lot of money. And that is very, very, very conservatively done. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we are trying to be as frugal as we can with God's money. $4.5 million. So I was talking with a friend of mine, and I was saying, here's the deal. I've got to know this as a pastor. I have to know that I know that I know that there's no place else God would rather His money go than into that building before I can stand and say, we need to do this. And God had me in this guy's presence to hear him say this. He said, well, let me tell you a story. He said, my wife and I, as we've been a part of this church for a long, long time, and we were thinking about what God has done through this church and the lives that have been changed through this church, he said, we were thinking that concerning this building, that we could give over 3 years, we could give $5,000. Now, y'all don't understand how many people it's going to take giving $5,000 and $50,000, $100,000 and $1 million. You know, it's going to take unbelievable amounts of sacrifice. But those people who are able to give on that level of $1,000 over 3 years or $5,000 over 3 years, it's huge. And for these guys, it was huge. And they said, we were going to give $5,000 over 3 years. And we felt like that was really, really powerful. And we were excited to do it. And then he said, and over the time as we've been looking at this building and the impact it's going to have and the difference it's going to make in the lives of children and the lives of young adults like we were just describing in the lives of our senior citizens, in the lives of homeless people, in the lives of the community around us. He said, we've decided that instead of five, that we're moving that to 25. Wow. He said, and let me tell you what 25 means. He says, that means it impacts our retirement. It means it impacts our inheritance that we would leave behind. It impacts big things. He said, but that's how important I believe it is. He said, because I believe with all my heart that this is exactly what God wants and that He's going to use it to change lives. Now, with that in mind, one of the reasons this guy knew it is he's gotten to hear the stories like the ones I just told you. And he knows the impact that's made week in and week out through this place and how much more is going to be done when we have that place in which to build those relationships. He knew about this letter before you did. But listen to this. This was a letter. It was just dropped in a box outside of my office. It said, I'm sorry this wasn't typed, but I wanted it from the heart. And then this young lady wrote, and Jeff, please don't read it in church. No. I do respect what you say when you write something like that. So I called this young lady and I said, oh, you have said so much. Can I please read it in church? And she said, the reason I didn't want it read in church is she said, I'm very shy and it would be very, very painful for me to be the center of attention. She said, if you read it anonymously, you can read it. Oh, okay. And so right now she's sitting among you and she's probably acting very nonchalant, like I don't have any idea. She's probably actually going like, oh, I wonder who that is. So I want you to read what this precious heart wrote. I'll tell you what.
Put your glasses on.
No. I got it up there.
There you go.
I got it up there. I'm going to read it from up there. That's what's in this.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
She said, Dear Christ United, and then she wrote a prayer right out the gate. She said, Father God, thank you for bringing me to Christ United. Thank you for bringing me to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then she said, from the moment I walked in this church, I knew I was home. From the moment I opened up, I knew I was safe. I knew this was my family. You helped me when I was a stranger to you. You gave me $497 to fix my car. To me, my car is my life. It's how I get to work. It's how I get to church. It's how I get food. To me, it puts me in control. To God, it was not about a broken down car. To God, it was about me trusting Him, about me putting my faith in Him, me allowing people to help me. Did I handle the lesson? This trial, this ocean wave with grace? No, in fact, I panicked and I failed and I worried and I waited. She said, but I realize now that although I couldn't see it, the whole time God was in control. God had everything figured out. God was working through people in my life. This whole time, God's got it. Trying to know Jesus, really trying to have this close, personal, one-on-one relationship for me is hard and terrifying. It takes work, hard work. It pushes me past my limits. He turns my whole world upside down. He takes me way, way, way out of my comfort zone. And I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I hope something bad happens because I'm going to grow. Is that awesome? Is that awesome? I'm going to be brought closer to the Lord, and I'm going to love Him more and trust Him more. I'm growing in this church. I'm being brought closer to Jesus than I've ever been. Thank you for helping me grow. Thank you for making me feel safe. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your guidance and discipline. And I know I need discipline, but I know you truly love me. When you correct me, I know you truly care. And when I look at you, this body, I see reflections of Christ, of people I admire, of people I'd like to be. You helped me when I was a stranger to you, and you have shown me nothing but kindness and love. This was much, much bigger than a broken car. This was about changing my life. I love you, brothers and sisters in Christ, and I thank you for bringing me closer to Jesus and becoming closer to you. Thank you. Yep. And my friend said, seeing that happen is worth going into my retirement. And another guy said, seeing that happen is more exciting than riding bulls or combat zones anywhere in this world. And a precious, beautiful young woman said, if I've got 1 month to live, I'll live it doing that. If I've got 6 months to live, I'll live them doing that. If I've got 6 years or 60 years, whatever I've got, I'm going to give it to doing that. Lord God, it's our prayer that you would just take our hearts and make them like Linda's heart. God, thank you for Linda, and thank you for just the way that her love for you and love for your church. And God, thank you for the way that she spurred me this morning. And God, thank you for Fred's heart, for Mandy's heart. Thank you for the hearts of the people that we are blessed to serve with and around. And God, thank you for letting us build life-changing relationships with you and with other people. God, we just thank you for the privilege. In Jesus' name. Now, guys, I want to tell you why you won't have a chance to give to this today. Even you stay with us through the 17th. On the 17th, we'll have people a chance to give money. But if you're a guest here, we have absolutely zero desire for you to give. The reason that we're not going to be giving somebody a chance to give money this morning is the only way people are going to have a chance to give money is we've got these meetings coming up, and they're in that packet. The dates are in the packet. You need to be there. You need to be there if you're a partner at Christ United, because we're going to talk about all this, about giving and about what it takes. But here's why we aren't going to be doing it this morning. Because we don't want anything to detract from what's getting ready to happen. And tune in, this is the most important moment in this whole day. We don't want anything to detract from what's getting ready to happen in somebody's life in this place right now. Because you came in here this morning, and this letter that I just read, you're saying, God, I need that. I need to know that I'm loved. I need to know that I'm safe. I, like Fred, need to know that my sins aren't counted against me. I, like Fred, need you to change my life. I, like that lady who wrote that letter, need you to change my life. I need a life change. It isn't about my broken down car or my messed up marriage or my terrible single life. It's about I need a changed life. And so if that's you, I want to tell you that I swear to God this is true. If it meant you being saved or us having a $4.5 million building, you being saved is the most important thing. Yeah. And so right now, if that's you and you're just here and you're just saying, I'm like Fred, I'm like that girl, but right now I know that I need to know my sins aren't counted against me. Right now I need to know that I can have a new life. I need to know that I can be safe with God. I need, like the lady who wrote that letter, to be able to say, God, I trust you, even through hard things, to draw me closer to yourself. And I need some relationships with some other people who are going to help me to grow. And so if that's you, can you just say to him right now, this is what Fred said. This is what that young lady said. At some point, they just came to God and said, God, I need you. I need your forgiveness. Please forgive me for all that I've done that wasn't your will. Can you ask him that right now? Can you just, in your own words, ask him that? And then they came to him and said, God, can you please change me? I need a different kind of life. Can you come into my heart and change me? Can you ask him that right now? Y'all, that's what Owie did. She just said, God, I need you. Would you forgive me and would you come into my life? And would you change me? Would you make me who you want me to be? And so if that's you, can you just say, God, come into my heart and my life. Change me. Make me who you want me to be. And now can you say, God, and I need some relationships with people who will help me to grow. So help me find those people. Can you say that? Help me find some people who will help me to grow. I need that. And now can you say to him, God, I'm yours. Thank you for being my father. I am your child. From this day, I am your child and you are my daddy. Can you tell him that? And can you say from this day forward, you're my Lord and I'm your servant. I'm yours. I'm all in. Can you say to him, thank you for saving me? Thank you for loving me. Thank you for changing me. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you something about that. If you prayed that prayer just now, I prayed that prayer 30 years ago, or I can't remember how many. It's been 35 years since I prayed that prayer. And I prayed for God to change me. And if you talk to my wife, she would say, God's got a long way to go to finish with him, right? Still got a lot of work, but he's been working on me that whole time. You've begun a new life. And the one thing I know 35 years later is the longer you serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer you know him, the more precious that relationship is to you. And so what I'm going to do is we're going to go into this next song of worship, and this altar is open to everybody here, everybody here. Some people need to walk forward because you, like me, are in a place where you say, God, what we've heard about today, I'll give my life to that. If there's anybody here who would say, I'll give my life to that, I challenge you to come and kneel before the altar and offer it to him. God, I'll give my life to that. If Linda will give her life to that, that spurs me on. I'm going to give my life to it as well. But also, if you prayed that prayer today, I want you to make your way here among the others. And you try to get your place to this altar and you just kneel down and say, this life is yours from here on out. Let's stand together as we're invited forward. We do something every week at Christ United, and that is for people who have taken that first step. And I said, you're the most important person in the room. You may be the one person here that needed to take that step. You're the most important person in the room. You're the reason we're here. And everybody else in this room that isn't taking that step with you has probably already taken that step or still needs to take that step. But if you took it, I'm going to invite you in just a second just to lift your hand and say, I took that step today. And I just want you to just slip up your hand and say, that was me. Today is the day I'll remember as the day when I gave it all to him. And if you do that, I'm going to be the one to see you. Maybe a couple other people will. But when that happens, we're just going to thank God for it. And then the only other thing I ask you is after the service is over, if you make your way to the prayer booth and just let them know so they can be praying for you. That sound good? So if you took that step today, I just want you to courageously lift your hand and say, that was me today. I took that step today. Is there anybody over here that says, I took that step today, and this is my step into a relationship with God through his son, Jesus? Anybody over here? How about up in the balcony? Is there anybody up there? This is your day. Don't be ashamed. Right there. You go, girl. I'm watching somebody give that precious girl a hug. How many people believe that everything in the whole world would be worth that one moment right there? Is there somebody else? Somebody else up in the balcony up there, and this was your day. How about down in here? Is there somebody here? This was your day. Don't be hesitant. You go, girl. You go, girl. And hold it. Did I see another hand? Right here? Is that right? Is that right? Did somebody else lift their hand? Fantastic. Yeah, give God a hand. Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else up in here? Don't want to miss anybody. Anybody in the balcony that we missed? All right, how about over there? Anybody? How about up there? Anybody up there? This is your day. All right, how about over here? Is there somebody over here? This is your day. And you just need to throw up your hand and say, it's me. It's me. Guys, right now we got some new brothers and sisters in this place. Can we just give God a huge hand for that? If you are beside somebody who lifted their hand, would you just say to them that you're willing to walk with them to the prayer booth? Would you do that and just say, I'll walk with you if you want to go over there, just so they'd have somebody to walk with them. If you do that, and you guys can make your way over there even now. While we're doing that, I feel a prompting to do something, and I may have been prompted wrong. No, she's still there. Linda, would you mind if we prayed for you? Would that be all right? I want to ask Linda to come forward and us just have a chance to pray for her. Randy's going to walk you down here. And as Linda just comes right up here, if you just agree in prayer together, we just invite you to just lift your hands up toward Linda. God, we just love our sister so much. And we thank you so much for the way she spurred us on today. And God, we thank you so much for her life and the beauty of it and all the difference she's making. And Lord, the fact that she might get to heaven before us makes us a little jealous. But Lord, we selfishly want to ask that you would just heal her, that you would just glorify yourself in her healing, that you would give her the strength that instead of spending a month, that she would spend many years loving people in your name. And so we ask for that healing right now, just believing you to do that and thanking you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. At the end of service, we give people an opportunity just to lift their hands, just to be blessed by God, to put into practice what He's done that day. So if you want to, just lift your hands. Oh, man. Oh, man. May God use you and use me, use us to build life-changing relationships with Himself and with other people. Amen to that?
Amen.
God bless you.